Romans chapter 8. Father, I thank you for again the opportunity and privilege to be able to share your word, but also sense this responsibility. You know I don't take it lightly. And Lord, I know I'll give account for what I say and how I say it and what I live before you. So I ask you for grace today by your spirit that you share me, just help me to share your heart, your truth, your word, always, Lord, clearly, lovingly, and uncompromisingly. Lord, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for each one who's maybe listening or joining in, whether it's online or however it may be. And I just pray that only you can take your truth and make it personal to every one of us so that even right now we would hear a word in season so that we would know how to live it out. Because that's really what it's all about, is to live it for your glory and honor. So I pray that you would just help us to do that. Help us to receive your word, your truth to us today. May it go on in good ground and bear much fruit to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, before we read two verses here, God's overall purpose, I'll say that again, his overall purpose for every one of us is to be conformed into the image of his son. In other words, it is God's will for each of us to be like Christ. That is God's will for every one of us. And the Bible says in Romans 8, 29, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he, speaking of God, foreknew, he also predestined. He worked out a destiny ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible teaches that God created us all in his image and his likeness. That was God's design. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, when we broke the commandment of God, that's what sin is. We don't have to wonder what sin is. It's breaking God's commandments. When we as a human people broke God's commandments, we fell from that place of the glory of God where Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God. And we fell from that place. And even though God, just think, he could have simply written us off. He could have simply said, okay, they're gone. They can perish. I'll start over with someone who'll listen. But he didn't. Thank God he didn't. And he didn't leave us in our sin, because if he would have, we would have been forever separated from him in a place Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels. But thank God he loved us so much that he gave his son to come rescue us from sin and death. He rescued us from that place of separation from God. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he paid for every one of our sins. We sang that song a few moments ago, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, we cannot humanly comprehend what he bore. It was so heavy that night in the garden that he felt the pressure of what it would be like to experience the wrath of God against everyone's sin who had ever lived. And in that place of a crushing Gethsemane olive press, his soul was exceeding sorrowful even to death. And the Bible says that out of his skin, blood was coming out in his sweat. He was under that much pressure that the capillaries in his body were bursting and blood was coming out of his pores. But yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. So because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, he goes on in verse 30 and he says this of Romans 8, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. That's past and present, and whom he justified, notice how he words it, these he also glorified. See, the work of Jesus on the cross was so complete that those who are in Christ will one day go back to that place for which he originally created us, from which we fell from the glory of God, but he's going to bring us back to the glory of God. And as far as God's concerned, he's already seen it as an accomplished fact. So he says, you've already glorified. But right now, you got to work it out. See, right now, yes, I'm called, justified, but I'm in that process of being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ once again. Would you turn to chapter 10, Romans 10, verse 8. Thank God Jesus took my judgment and offers me mercy. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The Bible says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Would you read this verse out loud with me? And I know we might have different translations, but if you read it off the screen, we'll all be on the same translation. Would you read it with me? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then verse 10, would you also read that one? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When God's Spirit convicts us of sin and we realize I'm not right with God, and it doesn't matter if we're 5 or 105, and we're convicted and we know I'm not right, but I believe. I believe God loved me. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe what he did was good enough, and I believe he conquered death. And when we believe and we simply come in childlike faith and call on the Lord to save us and confess Jesus as Lord, we are forgiven of all sin. We are made righteous with God, and God's Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Then we can start the process, the lifelong process of being transformed back into the original image of Christ like God designed. So the title this morning of the message is simply this: Be Transformed. Be transformed. And we'll look what the Word of God says of two ways that we are transformed. Be transformed. And if you turn to Romans chapter 11, maybe just one page or whatever you need to do there, Romans chapter 11, there are two ways that we're transformed. And I'll give them to you, and we'll take a moment to look at each one. So you don't have to speed write, okay? But I'll tell you what they are. So how are we transformed? Renew our minds and behold his glory. Renew our minds and behold his glory. And again, I'll give you the scriptures. We'll take a moment and go through them. Romans chapter 11. I want to give just a little bit of background, because Romans 12, 1 is kind of like the verse here that'll go in about transformation, but I want you to see the transition because they're connected together. So Romans 11, 32 says this: For God has committed them all to disobedience. Just think about that a second, please. See, at one time, I would have thought that was unfair. How come Adam messed up and I had to pay for it? But Adam wasn't the only one who messed up. And I'd have been in bad shape if it was on me. So God said, all right, Adam sinned. I'm going to let him represent everyone. You're all confined to disobedience. And why did you do that? He says in the next verse that he might have mercy on all. Thank God. He said, I'm going to classify them all condemned, everybody's sentenced together. I'm doing that because in Christ, everyone's going to be justified. Everyone is going to receive mercy. And then he goes on, he just breaks out in a praise in that next verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Then he connects it in verse 1 of chapter 12, and he says, now I'm pleading with you. I beseech you, therefore, connects it, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, if we have experienced the mercy of God, there is a proper way to respond to his mercy. And here it is. I plead with you by the mercies of God that you present or yield or offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy or set apart to God, which is your reasonable service. It just makes sense to give ourselves to God because he has given himself to us. That's our reasonable service. Some translations say pure worship. They're all connected together. But we respond to God as living sacrifices. That means it's not just our body, we're offering our entire being. We offer our entire being as a living sacrifice. Here's the problem with living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is, right? You put on the altar and so forth. I remember across the street here one day being over at the Girls and Boys and Girls Club years ago, and they used to let us come in and share like a little, almost like a, you know, I won't say Sunday school, but a kids' church time with them. It was voluntary. And I remember this one boy, I was ashore one day, we were talking about Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice. And so I asked someone to volunteer to be Isaac. And some of y'all, you may remember, were there. And I don't remember what we had him on. We had him on something. And the little boy was, you know, there. And so I came over and act like I was gonna, stab him. And he started doing the worm off the on his back, getting away. I said, "See, here's the problem with these living sacrifices. They want to wiggle off the altar." But isn't that true? When it comes to denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following the Lord, I don't always want to volunteer so easy. I like to wiggle off the altar. But present your bodies because it's the right way to respond to God's mercy. Then verse 2, and do not be conformed. Don't be patterned to this world. In other words, this world order, this world system. And that's not talking about, you know, back in the day, you know, in my background, we taught a little bit that world was how long your hair was, if you're a guy or women, you know, wearing pants. It's much deeper than that. World is about our heart. World is about our attitude. We may never put on makeup, let our hair grow, wear pants, or anything along that line and be just as worldly as anyone because we're just filled with gossip and filled with selfishness or pride. That's worldliness. So he says, don't be patterned in your ways and in your actions and in your attitude in this world system, but be transformed. That's our command. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind that you may prove or discern. You want to know what God's will is for your life? He says, offer your body and renew your mind, and then you can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's a continual process. How many of you know we don't arrive in this life? The process of renewing is all the time. One translation actually says, by the continual renewing of your mind. It's how we grow in Christ's likeness. Renewing our mind is how we are transformed, and renewing our mind is how we live out the Christian faith in the real world of our daily, day in and day out lives. On the job, home, wherever we are, we have to live it out, and we are constantly assaulted with thoughts and thought patterns of this world, and we have to continually renew our minds. So how do we renew our minds? It's kind of a simple process. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a simple process of we replace unscriptural thoughts and mindsets with scriptural ones. We replace, if you want to just simply say it like this, remove and replace. It's put off and put on. Put off and put on. The Bible actually commands us to do that in Ephesians. Put off the old life, put on the new. So we put off the scriptural thinking. So just all of the different areas where we may need to have our minds renewed. First of all, in our concept of God. How do I see God? Is he the big meanie up there? I mean, no sacrilege. I'm talking about how some people may see him as he's just out to get me, or he don't want us to have any fun, or he doesn't really understand me. He's so distant. If that's the case, I need to renew my mind about God. To know who he is as a father. Maybe I need to renew my mind about myself. I see myself, I'm no good. I can't do anything right. I'm stupid, ugly. I need to renew my mind. Maybe how I see others. How do I see others? How do I see marriage? Well, it's just a piece of paper. I need to renew my mind. How do I see trials and tribulations? Oh, this is happening because God is against me. And he's mad at me. That's not the purpose of trials. You just happen to live in this life. What about loss? When we experience loss, is it I'm completely wiped out? See, our security ultimately must be in the Lord. At the breakfast last week, one of the ladies was talking about how, as a mom, she could, you know, you're close to your sons and daughters, but as a mom, she could let her security be and who her identity be in a mom. But when the son and daughter left, if her identity was there, then what? Now, thank God, you can ask Kim. I cried when Brittany left home, but I still have life, and I still had a purpose. And so we do our best with our sons and daughters. We want to send them out to live productive lives for the Lord, but we need our own walk with the Lord. Do you see how we need to, at times, maybe renew our minds? What about money and possessions? This is my security. I've got to have this. Now, we all need money to live, and we need income, but if I lost my job, would my life be over? Is my possessions, honestly, about a generation ago, I don't know that people even had storage units. Now we can't even keep all our stuff under one roof. We just got a lot of stuff. But Jesus said our life does not consist in the abundance of the things we possess. So do you see how, okay, hey, use it to the glory of God, but that's not my life. How about gender? There are probably some young ladies who swim really well right now, and they might be upset because someone said they were female and ended up winning first place. And when they competed against other young men, they finished like 496th. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm not angry, upset. I'm not bashing anyone. I'm just simply saying, if that's our mentality, we just need to have our mind renewed with the truth of God's word. Do you see how important it is that we learn the truth of God's word? Because if we learn the truth, then we can recognize the false. And we can recognize the error. So it's very important. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me give you if you want to just, again, maybe just write this down or think of some examples. I'll try to pick one. There's a rabbinic saying that says, we do not see ourselves, I'm sorry, we do not see things as they are, we see things as we are. Does that make sense? I can tell you, I struggled with insecurity for a long time. I'm not saying I've arrived now, but I was so insecure that if I thought I couldn't do something and immediately do it well, I was scared to try it because I was scared to fail. And so I had to renew my mind in that area and say, you know what, if I fail, if I gave my best, I can learn from it and grow. Now I want to look at it like, I call it falling forward. I learn, I grow. Maybe I need to get closer to the Lord, submit to that area, but I keep going. I don't want to just quit because something didn't pan out like I thought. So that was the mentality. I sat over across the street at Maloney School years ago, and in that building where I think it was a science, it's like the school office board office now. I remember one day sitting at these, like a gym. Y'all may have heard me say this before. It was the plates. You know how you take some pins and you put it between the plates and you compress it? I was at a machine. I was sitting on a stool, and I went, and I had to wait because I just thought maybe I could lift this, and I went. And I felt some resistance, and I quit. And I would have thought, I can't possibly lift. That's too much for me. And a guy I went to school with said, wait a minute. You can lift that. Push it. And I went. And I was repping it out, but I would have walked away thinking I couldn't do it because as soon as I had resistance, I quit. Do you see how important it is? Renew our minds, behold his glory. Would you say that with me? Renew our minds, behold his glory. And see, our minds are already programmed with what we see in others. You know, how I'm growing up. So here, you know, I watch my parents as they might have a conflict. How do you handle conflict? Well, you just explode in anger until the other person gives in. Or you just go days or weeks without speaking. That's how you do it. But do you see? I'm not saying either of those are right. I'm saying If that's how we're brought up, we may not know different, and it's programmed into our mind, so we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's not the way to handle conflict in a healthy way. So you see? So it's living it out, and we're programmed with what we're taught by words. We're programmed with what we experience. If I've been through some painful life experience, then I can live in fear that this is going to happen again and not really live in faith and live my life to the fullness of the glory of God. So we've got to be renewed. We have to be transformed, again, renewing our minds and beholding his glory. And I want to just say one more thing on this, because I hope to encourage someone today. I can tell you, you know, the word transformed is a Greek word, metamorpho. We get our idea of like a caterpillar being transformed into the butterfly. But if you could see that butterfly in the cocoon, the butterfly was actually there in a sense, but it hadn't been transformed to come out. So it's in that cocoon, and it's tight, and it's probably wiggling at time and struggling. And, you know, if I were to relate it to a human experience, we would say, God, I'm in this tight place. What are you doing here? Why are you? And I can tell you, God can use those troubles, and God can use those painful experiences, and God can use even the failures, if we will learn from it, to show us where we need to renew our minds. And it's not an instant process. I wish it was. But I can tell you it's slow. Would you say slow? It's a slow process, and you just got to keep sticking with it, and you got to be faithful, and you got to persevere. And I'm telling you, I've done it, and I felt like a hypocrite, because maybe I'll work on an area. Like the first of this year, I really sensed the Lord leading me into Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And it says, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourselves. And I learned it. I read it in different translations. I write it down every day. I try to think about it when I eat. I get it ingrained into my spirit. And the Passion Translation says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. How about that? That's just the first part of this, of that verse. Could you imagine how the church would be transformed if we did that one sentence? Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your heart, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. That's just verse 3. But you see, I had to get that in me. And I'm telling you, when something happens, maybe you got a little conflict or tension, or you can feel like an absolute hypocrite, and you can hear the voice of the accuser saying, see, you're a hypocrite. You might as well quit. It's no good. It's not working. Yes, it is. You're just in the cocoon. Stick with it. Stick with it. Be faithful, persevere, meditate on that word, get it into your heart, get it into your mind and your spirit, and God will transform. Be transformed. But if we want God's good and perfect will for our lives, we must first believe the word of God, and we must develop a lifestyle of renewing our minds. Renew our mind. Behold his glory. Would you say that with me? Renew our minds. Behold his glory. I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 3. Would you turn there? Well, I won't actually close with it, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got to hurry along for time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've learned this over the years, how important this is. In the frustration of just trying to renew my mind from a human level, it's possible that someone might not, could be an atheist, be a non-believer, and they could change their thinking patterns if they disciplined themselves and tried. Here's the difference. Someone who is not indwelt by the Spirit of God cannot be transformed into the likeness of Christ by changing their thinking. But a believer can. A believer can renew their minds, and that's not the only one. Both of these are necessary. We must also behold his glory, because we need the Lord to help us renew our mind. He is the agent of transformation. We don't change ourselves. We give ourselves to him. We are obedient to his word, and he changes us. Be transformed. Let me just read verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now, where is the Spirit? So everyone's free, right? It actually means where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty. There's freedom. In other words, in the presence of the Lord, there's that freedom. So that verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we close, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Please notice that. Behold also means to consider and reflect. So behold means to consider and reflect. So beholding the glory of the Lord. How do we behold the glory of the Lord? Would you say in His presence? Where do we find His presence? We can find it in more than one place. Do you know we can actually behold the glory of the Lord in His Word if we would have that heart toward His Word? We can behold the glory of the Lord in prayer if we would come before Him that way. That's individual and corporately. How about worship? Can we behold the glory of the Lord in worship? Brothers and sisters, if we behold His glory, if we consider and contemplate His glory, then what happens is in the presence of the Lord, He transforms us. Then we reflect the glory of the Lord to others. That's why words like this in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, it's in the New Living Translation. It says, so all of us who have had the veil removed, because see, when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Then we can behold the glory of the Lord. All of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Unveiled. But do you see how important it is? It's not just enough for me to learn a verse. Memorize a verse. That's important. It's part of it. It's renewing my mind. But I can't put this all on me. I need help. And beholding the glory of the Lord. That's why it's so important in worship and prayer. And we open Scripture, not just reading as a textbook. We are holding the living Word of God. And we can behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. And God will use His Spirit and His Word to transform us so that we can reflect Him to others. I'll close with this in Exodus chapter 33 and 34. Exodus chapter 33 and 34. I'll do this for time's sake, okay? Moses went to God and he said, show me your glory. And God said, I can't let you see my full glory. In other words, you can't look right in my face and live. The Bible says God dwells in such unapproachable light, no human, no mortal has ever seen it. When we talk about beholding the glory of the Lord, we're talking about beholding the awesome glory and presence and power of the Lord. But here's what God says. Here's what I'll do. I appreciate your heart. And I'm going to put, in the mountain, there's a cleft right here. And I'm going to hide you in there. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to put my hand over you. And I'll just let my glory pass by. And you can kind of see, you won't look right in my face, but you'll see enough of me to know. Yeah, because other than that, you'll die. So let me turn back here. He says this in Exodus then, chapter 34. Let me go ahead and I've got to read this. Y'all got a minute? Exodus chapter 33. Let me at least read verse 19. Exodus 33, 19. The Bible says, God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. Because He says, show me your glory. Here we see the glory of God, the name of God, and the Word of God linked together. Those are the three resources God has given us to make us one that I shared last week. His name, His Word, His glory. And he says, the name of the Lord before you, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion, but you can't see my face and live. So then he drops down in verse 5 of chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord descended on the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And here's how he revealed his glory. Verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Isn't that something of how God reveals his glory? Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. When Moses came back down from the mountain, he didn't realize that the skin of his face shone. He didn't know it. And when the Israelites saw him, when he came down to them, they saw his skin and were scared and tried to get away. They didn't want to come close to him. They had never seen anything like that. Moses didn't realize his face shone. So when he went around the people, it eventually faded, but he put a veil on his face around the people. But when he went back to the Lord, he took it off. That's why it says, with unveiled face, we come before the presence of the Lord. See, don't wear a mask before God. Don't wear a veil. Just be real. If you're going to be transformed, we just got to be real and say, Lord, show me what I need. Show me where I need to grow in Christ's likeness. And then come before him that way. And then when he shows us, he'll help us. Now, here's the thing. Moses didn't realize it. That's why I want to say, when you're in the cocoon, you may think nothing's happening and nothing's changing. You may not realize, if you renew your mind and behold his glory, that anything is happening, but God is doing something. Please just be faithful, persevere, don't quit, be transformed. Just keep renewing your mind and beholding his glory and trust God with the timing and results. Be transformed. So let me close with this. Just please think about it. Will you trust God to help you? It's his will. Will you trust him to help you renew your mind and behold his glory? And I would just ask you to think about this. Starting now, don't put it off. Today, what truth will you renew your mind with? And if you're not sure, just ask the Lord. He'll reveal it to you. And then get that truth into your heart, meditate on it, think on it, and you recognize that lie, put it away and replace it with the truth. Renew your mind. And then how will you make it a lifestyle? I mean, daily, make some time to behold his glory. Would you be willing to cut the TV off or maybe get away from the computer for a while and just focus on him and think about him and worship him and pray to him and seek him and open his word and behold his glory and let his spirit transform you? Be transformed, renew our minds, behold his glory. Would you say that with me? Renew our minds, behold his glory. Let's stand together.